So I
Yes, raindrops. It's the raindrops. And who knew? Who knew the raindrops could bring down a Black Hawk helicopter? Who knew? Who knew that rain would stop the car from driving on the road? Who knew? Who knew? And I guess that's the excuse, not just in France, but also here at home, where it's you can almost walk from the White House to Arlington if you really wanted to. And yet, again, no real reason that I can find of why the president has not bothered to show up, other than, hey, it's raining. I'm here to share some thoughts on the I guess we'll just call it Raining Gate. It'll be called Rain Gate. Our good friend Red T. Raccoon, he is a popular Twitter commentator, military veteran, and medic. Red, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me.
So it's raining, Red. It's raining, man.
It's raining in North Carolina right now, but that's not going to stop us, is it?
Do you buy it? I mean, look, had he come out, as I said at the beginning, had he come out, had the White House come out and said, look, he's an older guy, he's not feeling well, weather's not so great, you know, we're taking precautions, we don't want him out in the rain. I might have bought that.
I would have too, and at least that's an excuse that people can buy. It's the fact that you can't get a helicopter off the ground, or you can't drive 60 miles outside of Paris. It's just ridiculous. John Kelly seems to be able to get there perfectly fine. Everybody else seems to get there perfectly fine. And now with this Arlington piece, that is an 11-minute drive from the White House. And you're right, you can walk it. I came close to actually doing that myself one time. It's so disheartening. And just kind of looking back to at what veterans have gone through, especially World War One.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just imagine yourself on that battlefield in those trenches, you know, knee high in water because there's nowhere for it to go. And you're crawling on your belly inch by inch just to gain 3 feet of ground in a war where I think it was 9 million military people died in that conflict. You can't stand out in the rain for 30 minutes. It's not like you don't have an umbrella. It's not like you can't jump right back into your car and dry off. It's just kind of just shocking to me that he's gone this far.
Is it really shocking, though? I mean, this. I've never look. I look at most Republicans. They use the military for photo ops. They use the military for votes. They pander. But when it really comes down to it, I don't know that they're really. I don't know. I look at what they've done to the VA. I look at what they've, you know, the shenanigans that they've pulled. I don't really know that they're supporters. And I just, you know, it's one of these moments where you know who do you blame more, the liars or the lied to?
Yeah, and, well, see, the thing that's shocking to me, and you hit it right on the head, is that they are so quick to go and utilize those photo ops, and that's what this is. I mean, it does not – this is a slam dunk. Whoever is, you know, working with Trump, his handlers, whatever it is, seriously messed up this situation because this is a Trumpian photo op traditionally. Now, when we talk about what they do with veterans on a day-to-day basis, it's absolutely shocking, and I'm not shocked as far as how far they've gone with it, but it's disturbing what has happened to the Department of Veterans Affairs, what has happened over the past 2 years, even with simple one-off casualties that we had within the military. There's absolutely no respect for veterans or our active duty military personnel.
But you've got Mike Pence saying that, you know, the military has no better friend than Donald Trump.
Oh, that's great. Let's go and throw a little pitch for Donald Trump when we should be going and honoring our veterans. You know, Mike Pence can go and sell whatever he wants to sell. Prove it to me. I want you to go, and I want you to have Trump go to a combat zone. I want him to go and talk to those military personnel. I want him to go to these events and show respect. You know, it's show me. Show me what you're actually doing. And right now, he's not showing us anything. I don't understand how veterans or military service personnel can actually still vote for this person, given just how little he has done for this group.
Yeah, I've had these conversations, you know, throughout the years.
Oh yeah.
And what's frustrating to me is you go, will it be this time? Will finally this be that moment of epiphany where you go, what? because I'm hoping there's some blowback from this. I mean, look, I guess you could make the argument that, well, you know, you didn't go to the one over in France. Yeah, okay. You didn't want to be around Macron, who threw a shot at you. You didn't want to be around Merkel. Okay, I get that. But here at home, to not go to Arlington, when, as you point out, it's just an 11-minute ride, and he doesn't have to worry about traffic.
No, and it's not even raining in Washington, D.C. right now. So he could have done this at any point during the day. Again, what, a commitment of 30 minutes at the most? You and I have actually had these conversations in the past. You don't know where that line is with some people. And you always think, okay, this is the one that's going to go and say, hey, I'm not going to go and support them. Unfortunately, I think it's going to be that point where he's actually commander-in-chief and that he's in charge of a major military operation where we're going to see some of the worst of what Trump has to offer. Because clearly he does not understand the military and how they function. Scares the living daylights out of me. Right now we have troops in Afghanistan, Syria, and Iraq. Again, they're, I don't want to say minor conflicts, but they're not a major global conflict. And what he's doing is going to get ourselves eventually into it. And as commander-in-chief, he scares the living daylights out of me. Because apparently he just does not care.
We've deployed troops to our own border.
Exactly. And right now, they don't have supplies. They don't have hot food. They don't have air conditioning. They basically are just down to that border with MREs. Again, that lack of responsibility at top of the chain when it comes to the military.
Jeez, can we get them gift cards to go to McDonald's or something? I mean, we're here. How difficult can this be? How long and far can the supply chain, how bad can it be? I mean,
it can't be.
That's nuts to me.
Yeah, we have plenty of military bases in Texas and in the south, Southwest. Where they really need to be is in California right now. And that's where American lives are at risk. That's where Americans need the military to go and show up and actually start helping us. Not sitting there twiddling their thumbs playing cards on the border. Because, believe me, I've been in the military, I've been in the Army. I know about hurry up and wait. And there is a long wait right now that they're sitting there doing absolutely nothing. Being away from their families. It's Veterans Day. I mean, heck, just imagine being out there. You have no choice. I mean, I hate to say it, no matter what their politics are out on that border, they're following orders.
Of course.
And you know, I don't, as a former soldier, I feel sorry for them. I really do. They're doing something just for political reasons. A dog and pony show right there on the border.
Yeah, and the sad thing about it is no one's even talking about it anymore. You know, the whole when was the last time we heard anything about the caravan here the last couple of days? Well, you know, all of the stuff that we heard in the run-up, you know, how, you know, ISIS was coming and the caravan was coming and it's the end of ISIS. But it's been the election happens, gone, done. It's over.
That's right. He got his votes and that's all he needs. And even what bothers me even more about that, even if it was a dog and pony show, bring them back now. If it's over, it's over. But again, we're dealing with someone that just really, it's tough to kind of understand what his reasoning is with anything, if he even actually does have reasoning behind it.
No, I doubt there's any reasoning. But, you know, you brought up California. And one of the things that, again, bothers me is it's the kind of lying that goes on. And that his base, and again, I come back to this frame of, you know, who's worse, the liars or the lied to? Because, you know, the liars, I hope they know better. And the lied to absorb this stuff as, you know, absolute fact without actually looking into it. You know, the tweet today about, you know, California mishandling funds and how it's all California's fault. When you look at the reality is because of Trump, they've had dwindling budgets. And also, from what I understand, you know, a good part of the dying and dead trees are actually on federal land, not on state. The state actually does a pretty good job of land management.
Yeah, actually, I looked at a map, excuse me, of the federal lands within California, and they own massive amounts of the state. You're dead right. It's, again, passing blame to somebody who is in a situation right now where they desperately need help. And it's a sad state of affairs that we're doing that. And luckily, the American public has been kind of coming together and helping out in each of these disasters. I saw it personally in North Carolina. That goodwill is only going to last so long. I think we're starting to get kind of worn out by these disasters. And again, people can only give and donate so much. the federal government has been completely lacking in regards to these responses.
Yeah.
And I saw it firsthand, actually, with Hurricane Florence. I deployed with Team Rubicon down to Fayetteville, North Carolina. Not once did I see FEMA. So a lot of organizations, American Red Cross, the Baptist Church is very big down here, obviously Team Rubicon, nothing as far as FEMA is concerned. And again, I don't think North Carolina is isolated. We're seeing it in California. We saw it in Texas. We saw it in Florida, Puerto Rico. It's just total disregard for human life.
But doesn't this play into, you know, and I think we've also had this conversation as well, but doesn't this play into, Red, the Republican frame that government can't do anything right? And then they set out to make sure that government can't do anything. I mean, the reality is I think we have the expertise and the ability to, when these disasters happen, to respond in a much better way, to be prepared beforehand. To me, in this day and age, there should be no one who dies in these fires. We should have had people evacuated out of there much sooner. You know, as soon as you knew something was coming, you know, it's a couple miles away. Get moving, because it's coming. What I see and what's frustrating to me is you keep hearing Republican politicians say the government can't do anything right, and then they work to make sure that things can't get done right.
Yeah, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's, you know, and they intentionally go and handcuff all these agencies and make sure that they can't respond properly. I mean, we're even seeing it within the land management of California. Ryan Zenke is in charge of that. He's going to be out within a week. These people, it's constant moving chairs, it's constantly going and almost ruining America. I'm trying to think back right before the Great Depression. It was, you know, hey, let's go and find the bottom. Right now, it seems like the Trump administration is trying to dig us to that bottom, try to see how low we can go. And what it does is it causes despair, causes anxiety, and it causes a populace that starts backing away from politics because they're worried about their everyday life. If you're running from fires, you really don't care what's going on in Washington.
Yeah.
If your house just flooded out, you know what? Chances are you might not vote because you don't have a home. These things are constantly happening. And what it is just everybody's on edge. Constantly for 2 years, we're all just bouncing from one thing to the next. And it seems, like you said, a lot of manufactured problems that they've caused on their own.
And look, I hate to think that way, but it just seems that that's how it plays out.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I mean, I don't think that we're alone. I think more and more people are starting to see this. And what happens is usually it's one event that goes and impacts them personally. So going back to the ACA, you had a whole group of people that were extremely worried about their health care. They jumped on board. The events of today, you're going to see a whole bunch of veterans jump on board. And I hate to say it, the more he keeps on doing it, the larger and larger of a mass is going to start pushing back against him. We saw that with the blue wave coming through as far as elections go, but I'm very interested to see what's going to happen in 2020. The Republican Party is very close to putting themselves in the grave. I hate to say that, but because it's good to have basically two parties in order to go and balance each other out, but the Republicans have just buried themselves with this.
No, I mean, they really have. I mean, this is you know, the dog. This is no longer the dog whistle party. This is out and out the racist, homophobe, xenophobe. You go down the list of all of the things that we view as negative. That's who they are.
Yeah, and it's the more Trump goes and gets his people into office, and more of these candidates actually got elected, you're seeing kind of like this whole entire shift away from the traditional Republican Party. Probably about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, I was a moderate. There were some Republicans that I agreed with. There was some Democrats that I agreed. It's completely gone now. And especially even just some of the ones that remained are completely out of office now. He's almost implanted his own new Republican Party into Washington right now as far as getting rid of some of those people, Paul Ryan's especially.
Yeah, and I never agreed with anything Paul Ryan had to say, but you compare him next to Trump, and well, a whole different thing. But
exactly.
I wanted to get some of your thoughts. Also, you know, today is obviously the observance of Veterans Day, and I wanted to, you know, get a couple of your thoughts on, you know, on things that we're not doing. Obviously, we've got a president who who's not going to lift a finger. And I just saw a study put out by EPI that, you know, said, you know, that, you know, one in five working veterans, if we were to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour, would benefit. Some 1.8 million veterans would benefit from a raise of minimum wage up to 15 bucks an hour. And it's one of these moments where, you know, it's fine, well and good to say, hey, we're going to pin a ribbon on you. Hey, pat on the back. Nice job. Hey, thanks a lot. How about making people's lives better? How about making sure that they can support their families, and that gratitude that we claim to have actually equates into them having better lives? Just kind of a thought.
Yeah, and so I think one of the most important things to do is find out about legislation that's being passed in regards to veterans. What happens, especially when you toss out that word veteran, it's almost like you get a blank check in regards to some of these bills. And so a lot of them will have some positive things in it, and a lot of them lately especially have been very negative as far as kind of diminishing the value of the VA. And one thing that I encourage all veterans to look at, especially if you have disabilities, is look at the education programs throughout the VA. That will help you as far as careers go. Another thing that I definitely want to push, if you're in the position to go and hire a veteran, I want you to look at military experience compared to college experience. A lot of veterans forego college in order to go and enter the military. We need to go and kind of look at that at an equal playing field, especially when it comes to leadership, it comes to adaptable skills. Another thing, too, is working with a lot of veterans organizations. Do your homework. Please do your homework when it comes to veteran nonprofit veteran organizations. Make sure that it's a reliable one. Make sure the money is actually going to veterans. But then work with them. I always tell people, you know, volunteering doesn't cost a thing. Go and work with the veterans. There's a lot of programs where you can go and just sit with a veteran as they go through the VA system. Trying to do that, try to give back. I always, you know, people always say, thank you for your service. I appreciate that. I really do. But do more. You know, sometimes it's just as simple as asking somebody that you know about their service. So I was one of those people that was always afraid to kind of talk to my father about his service during Vietnam because he actually was stationed in Germany. Very embarrassed by that. He always thought that he didn't serve his country well because he didn't go to Vietnam. Totally wrong about that. I actually took a couple minutes yesterday just to kind of talk to him and kind of get some more information out of him. And that made him actually feel better about his service, what he did. His brothers also served in Vietnam, too. Let people open up about their service. Talk to a vet. Give him a pat on the back. Go and take him out for a coffee.
Good stuff. And actually, you know, as you've pointed out, actually put something behind the words.
Exactly.
Red, I appreciate the time. I appreciate the thoughts. I'm hoping there's a pushback, especially over this Arlington thing. Just mind blowing to me.
You're seeing a lot of it. I've been looking online, and the past 24 to 48 hours have been absolutely just destroying Trump as far as some of these decisions go. But again, keep on him. Keep on him about this. Make sure that, you know, people know that this is happening because it's totally disrespectful to veterans.
Yep. I'm with you. Red, thanks so much. Happy Veterans Day to you and your family and all veterans.
I appreciate it, Rick. Hey, stay dry. I don't want you to get wet out there.
I won't melt, and if I could, I'd be out in the rain all the time.
You and me both. You have a great time.
Thanks so much, Red. Our good friend Red T. Raccoon, a very popular Twitter commentator. You can check out his stuff. We'll get links out. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. Raindrops are falling on my